Good morning.
Councillors. We'll open up the council meeting. If everybody could be in attendance at the table.
No. I'll ask the deputy mayor, she'll know.
Ordinary council meeting of Wednesday, the 22nd of January 2025, to be held or is held at the Tunnock Hall today at 2147 Tunnock Lane Road, Tunnock. The agenda's been circulated and we've all had the opportunity to read that over the past 3 or 4 days, which is as required. The council agenda commences as usual with prayers, and we welcome Reverend Dennis Cousins to recite prayers for us.
Good morning, everybody, and New Year as well.
Morning, Dennis.
We usually have a list of people that have passed away in between our council meetings, and it's always a privilege to be able to mention their names, and some it's the first time they may have heard of them, or it may have been some nice memories they've had. Today our list is short, and it's a person by the name of Bruce Prewer, Bruce Porter, who hadn't lived in this municipality, but in the last 5 or 6, maybe a little bit more years, he was in the multi-purpose centre. And Bruce was an Apsley boy who was brought up on farms and properties in the Apsley and Melton Mowbray and Bothwell area, and the people that knew him and that he worked for all spoke very highly. And poor Bruce had a massive stroke some years ago, and it changed everything in his life. So we had an opportunity last week to have a memorial service at the multi-purpose centre. He was born on the 15th of January 1951, and his funeral, his celebration was on the 15th of January 2025. On the 16th we had his memorial service, so that was a great opportunity. Quite often at the end of festivals or celebrations we sometimes have the Irish blessing, and I know with lots of funerals or celebrations of people's lives we have the Irish blessing, and I thought today would be nice for what the Irish blessing says, that may be our hope for 2025, so let me begin with that. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Loving God, we ask for blessings upon Bruce Porter, his family, as they mourn his loss, and the friends who have known him for many years. And as we begin this year here with the Southern Midlands Council, we ask for blessings upon the work that this organisation provides to a wonderful community. And in doing so, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much for having me, and for the rest of the days.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Carol.
Yeah. It's a sobering thing. If someone passes that, you know, like you went to school with, and they're picking out of your paddock, aren't they?
In his catching
pen? Catching pen, yeah. School. Yeah. Oh, Mervyn, do you remember Mervyn? No, you probably don't. Mervyn Porter used to bring petrol around to everybody's place. A good family. You're an absolute. All right, so much for that. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, and we recognise their continuing connection to the land, water and to the community. We pay respects to elders past and present. We have a full contingent of councillors today.
Pending the arrival of Councillor Blackwell.
Yes, Councillor Blackwell's on the way. And AB's not with us, but otherwise I think most of our council officers as necessary are here. The ordinary council meeting minutes is a recommendation that they be confirmed.
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Thirsty. Second is Councillor Cornley. And we just start to the right at the table of them. Councillor Blackwell. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. The minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 11th of December 24. I move for those, please.
I'll move.
Thanks, Deputy. Seconded.
I can second.
Thank you, Councillor Fish. Moving that they be confirmed. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Special committees of council. We've received the minutes there from the Woodsdale Community Memorial Hall and the Open Community Shed. The recommendation is that they be received.
Do I can move them?
Second.
Oh, okay.
Was it moved by Councillor Fish? Thank you. And a second, Councillor Campbell. Any issues? Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And recommendations in respect to those minutes were just endorsed. So I move to those. Thanks, Deputy. Seconded.
Second.
Thanks, Councillor Christie. Any issues? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those across? The ayes have it. Thank you. Notification of council workshops. No workshops, so that information has been removed for that.
I'll move.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Thank you, Councillor Blackwell. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Council laws, question time. There's been no in writing. Questions without notice. Deputy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just had a question for the General Manager, whether we've actually heard from the Local Government Minister, Kerry Vincent, in regards of local government reform, because I'm hearing all about Dorset this morning. But
who's happened?
Now back in. They can start tomorrow and yeah.
We've only got half a council.
We've only got half a council.
Yeah. They might not have a quorum.
No, that's what they're worrying about. Whether he's contacted us to have a round the table talk about stuff. And
So the government, just prior to Christmas, has issued a priority reform plan of attack. And I think just early in the new year, there might have been some more detail come through. So we will have a look at that in over the coming weeks to see there. What the priorities are, nothing too alarming, I don't believe.
No. The Minister, I heard him on radio say there will be no forced amalgamations. However, should the councils, two councils decide to amalgamate, provided the community support it, they will help them or they will support them through the process. And the third one was that they're going to review the Local Government Act, and there's a number of aspects in that, including allowances, I think. That's what I recall that the Minister's statement, what he said, which was important.
The Minister has sent out, I don't know if you want to discuss it today, an email about the allowances issues.
I haven't seen it.
It's come to me, but we may need to have a talk about it.
Mind you, he's probably preoccupied with the Northern Midlands at the moment.
That was in the discussion this morning on the ABC as well.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess up there. Yeah.
We can talk about that later.
But it's not, it doesn't affect us, I don't think.
No, it doesn't. It's just
look, we're blessed with having no problems. Let's keep it that way, guys.
That's right.
That's been really good.
Yeah, so look, it will come on as part of our forward workshop program at the end of the council.
No, I just saw something on social media the other night and I thought, oh, it's one day he hasn't contacted us to say let's get around the table.
I think the main issue for the allowances is what we can actually pay for as...
There's been no review for
what councils.
It's supposed to be reviewed by an independent panel, but there's no. I just forget whether there was a time. Was it every 2 or 4 years? And they skipped the last one.
So they index it annually, and as you say, every 3, 4 years they basically start with a clean slate and look at the roles and responsibilities and try and put
it out. But I think I was going to say what Ms May's concerned about is whether or not you can pay certain allowances, certain things like your phones or your reimbursements for things that may not be council business, or whether you can define that as council business, how you actually organise that.
And
the other topic of the issue is the issue around legal expenses.
Yes.
Councils reimbursing elected members, general managers, or covering the cost of legal expenses. So.
Yeah, and just hot topic. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Deputy.
I was going to say, at the last Deputy Mayor meeting, a lot of the mayors and deputies were talking about superannuation. They want superannuation being included.
It's
something they've been
going topical
about for a while. To do with announcing.
Which would mean the council would be topping it up and be an extra 11%. All right, well...
On that, Mr Mayor, Mr General Manager, what was the circumstance? Well, you probably can't tell, but the Mayor and the General Manager of Northern Midlands were required to pay their legal expenses. Now, we have insurance that should cover that, because it was a council matter.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was actually an insurance issue. This was litigation.
But it was litigation over a development.
No, I think it was actually defamation.
That's a bit different.
So the council, in good faith, said that they would cover the legal expenses.
Yeah.
Then the court found that that's not a valid.
That's right.
Expenditure.
Well, that worried me when that decision came down, because we pay big money for officers and something insurance.
Director, officers and directors.
Yeah, right.
But that's more around negligence and all that type of stuff The government has tried to clarify it in the last day or two and sent a notice out saying that this is an issue that needs to be looked at in the context of a councillor's expenses policy. But the ELGAT, this is only yesterday, I'm catching up on a heap of emails, they're actually going to seek advice on behalf of local government. So I'm not sure that they necessarily agree with what the local government division has said. I believe the City of Hobart's agreed to cover the cost of seeking, of ELGAT seeking advice.
But our expenses policy probably needs to be reviewed, and I think that's one of the, I'm sort of a bit off topic from where we're going with this discussion has taken us there. I keep on wanting to say Porridge, that's not very nice. But he's the acting local government director, and he's asking people to review the expenses policies.
Yeah.
So I guess you'll get around to that in due course.
I think once we receive this advice from ELGAT, through ELGAT, regarding these, we'll do it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what ELGAT's issue is, but they didn't necessarily agree with
The other thing I wanted to raise, something that's sort of I've been thinking about for a while, I know we have, it's to do with the aquatic centre, the pool. I know we have a small sign on the highway, but I think we need a large sign on the highway. Just getting it out there.
Yeah, good idea.
I've spoken to Adam, and he has raised it before. I've spoken to Troy, and he has raised it before. I really do think it's a good idea, because I've got some figures that Adam gave me yesterday. I popped into the pool, and there were kids everywhere again. Anyhow, I just want to... I know we're going to run it, have to run it through state government and whatever, but there is a spot on the northern end. I've sussed it out already, because there are two poles sitting there that just need a really good sign on them.
So we have got them, well, the aquatic centre's on the event notice.
Yeah, the sliding out thing. Yeah,
the sliding out thing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but if you're going past that at 110, don't see that. But
I'm not sure how that complies with the signage code, but anyway, we're going
to
look at it.
I just want to put it out there, and maybe we can have a think about it.
Yeah, it's a great facility. I think we underestimate just how, iconic is the buzzword of the day. But how iconic it is as part of Aitken's general facilities.
Yeah, well, as I said, I've got figures, and when we get to the pool section, I'll bring those up.
Signs of the pool, all right.
Okay, that's me finished, thank you.
Councillor Lane?
Just a couple of minor maintenance things, really. The bin in the car park at the Campania pub, the bottom of it's rusted out, and so everyone keeps throwing their rubbish in there, which conveniently pulls at the bottom of the bin and then blows all over the place. So if we could perhaps replace that bin with something a bit more modern and purposeful, that would be good. And the other thing is with the, there's a lot of sort of development going on at the moment around various industrial buildings going up around the place, and a few people have been questioning how they were approved in the sort of grand scheme of things, especially, and one of them's obviously not in relation to us, but down on the Richmond Road, that awful distillery that's going up, which is just a concrete block on the middle of the road. But the other one is the one near the golf club that's going up, and just to understand what's going on there, because I don't think everyone's worried that it's going to be a major industrial complex, but now the road's being widened and all the rest of it there, and it's also directly opposite someone's driveway, so they're a little concerned that that they'll lose access to their property or be constantly sort of harassed with trucks trying to turn in and out of there.
Where are you talking?
It's on Colebrook Road, so going into Campania, it'll be on your right. So it's just it's something to do with the vineyard, but it seems to be a growing industrial complex at the moment, and people are sort of wondering, how it got approved in the first place, right on the road. But equally, the person opposite's worried about loss of access and utility.
Don't think it's zoned for industrial.
Yes, well, I bet that is
area.
Well, I can provide some qualification for Mr. Mayor. So the councils that approved that winery back in 2023, it's a $12.5 million development. Under the rules on resource processing, is provided for as a discretionary activity. The key component would be in relation to access. So the access accords with DSG and LEGAC standards. We came through there this morning. It is quite a busy construction site at the moment, but certainly as far as the installation goes, it will be processing and visitation, so there will be food and beverage offerings there as well, so it will be a destination. And just on that too, I've been speaking with the joint landowner to the north, Rocky Cabaco, who owns the Hobart Whiskey Company.
That's right.
He has premises in Milwaukee. He's looking to relocate and his facility onto the joining site in tandem with his olive processing as well. So we could see a bit of a hub of, usually industrial, but resource processing activities, which is provided for within the rural zones.
I think as long as they're set back from the road and not so utilitarian, I think, and again they use the example of that distillery on Richmond Road where you can't even build a house on there because it's significant agriculture, but you know, they've managed to put this concrete cube on there, and you know, it's just, you know, it's really sort of detracts from the overall area. So I guess their fear is that we're going to end up with a slew of these things, you know, right along the roadway there, which they'd like to avoid. So
I think the key thing is pretty contextual, because obviously we've got a massive inland expansion on the same side as well, and I put one end of that as well. But also two on the joint, probably to the north. Rocky has the largest olive grove, I believe, and maybe in Australia, on 14,000 trees. So again, it's all the winemakers. The waste of the site, but I take your comments regarding the PATS development down at Cambridge.
Yeah, so I think just making sure it's set back far enough from the road, and you know, there is some aesthetic consideration put to these buildings, obviously.
Quite so.
Without having to, you know, make it a semi-industrial area under the guise of rural. I mean, it's ultimately good in terms of the area, in terms of jobs and whatever else, but I think we just need to be a bit more conscious of the effect it has on the surrounds, particularly as you want people to be driving through olive groves and vineyards, and not necessarily through a, you know, wall of tin sheds and concrete boxes. Yeah.
But it's happening on the Richmond Road too, not that it's in Clarence, but that's the sort of development that's going on Richmond Road.
Yeah. Oh, it's massive. And again, it could have been set back from the road, you know, it might have been a little bit more roadway to build, but you know, it's a horrible concrete box, and you know, it's... But yeah, so just making sure that we're, you know, not approving stuff, but making sure there's a bit of thought going into how it affects the overall aesthetic of the area.
Yeah.
Thanks, Councillor.
That's important.
Any other matters?
No.
Councillor Campbell.
Yes. I've been out travelling around the municipality a bit, and there's a little plant that grows alongside the road, commonly referred to as yarrow. This is the pink yarrow version, but the one that's out of control is the white yarrow. It's growing along the verges of the road, sneaking into private property, into paddocks that are being cut for hay. And a lot of the people who buy hay don't want that in their barn. Now, yarrow is also known as sneeze weed. It is classified as a garden plant. It is referred to as a weed, but it's not classified as a weed. How do we get it classified as a weed when this thing is... It spreads a bit like twitch. It has a heavy root mat underneath it, and every little node grows. The more you cut it, the more it grows, the more it flowers, the more it seeds, the more it spreads. So how do we get it declared as a weed?
I guess that's something we could refer to the weeds officer.
Mm.
Get some advice about
it. There is a state weeds body that...
Yeah, I noticed that the mustard weed is seen to be everywhere too. I don't really notice that properly. That's another one that's creeping in. Often where roadworks are occurred.
The weed officer has already told me it's not declared as a weed, but there is other horticultural bodies declare it as a weed.
All right, well, we'll see whether or not she's got some official comment about that.
Mm.
Is that your lot?
No.
Yep.
I'm curious, who are the Southern Midlands representatives for Southern Waste?
That would be our manager of infrastructure and works.
And I would like to know what Southern Waste is doing about single-use plastics. And what is Southern Waste doing about microplastics, seeing that microplastics are now getting into our food chain and they help cancer to thrive?
Well, they're getting into your semen as well, so it's more than just the food chain.
Yeah.
Every part of your Cell biology has microplastics in it.
And that needs to be dealt with. And in Mount Seymour Hall, seeing that no one knows who's got the key.
Sorry, did you want to respond to the stubborn waste aspect of matters? I'm not sure what the answer is there, Bob.
Well, our works manager can take it to them and find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Through Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to raise that with the CEO, Paul Jackson, at the meeting I attend, and I'll give it.
Of course, one of the things we need to be doing is cleaning up our waterways and plastic out.
So the two were the single-use plastics and the microplastics?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then moving on to Mount Seymour Hall, seeing that no one knows who's got the key. How do we get access to the hall? And how can we get a committee together?
Are there any specific groups, without necessarily naming them, Councillor Campbell, but are there any specific groups or people that want to use it?
There's four interested people.
Four interested people?
Yep. Not counting myself.
No.
Which would make it five.
You're interested in being involved in yourself?
I would consider being involved. Right. But we also need to... Yeah, we need to get access to it, we need to be able to get a committee together, we need to get funding together for insurance, and then the other question is, do you need a permit to do maintenance on the hall, as say you clean all that scale and paint off and repaint it, plus go and get weather boards and put them back up the side where they go and walk about.
No, that was the advice that came to the last meeting, is that it's Crown owned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone thought the lodge might have owned it.
Yeah, there was a fairly detailed status report.
What's that? Has no use though, does it?
No.
Yeah.
To be honest, Council Campbell, I'm not sure why we want to get involved in it from a council perspective. If that group of four or five interested people want to get access, they probably need to contact the Crown direct.
That's right.
In terms of sits under parks. So we can provide that contact name that was on that status report, and they need to possibly take direct. Because they could get permission from the Crown to change locks and do whatever they want to do and have authority to... maybe they enter into a lease or a rental arrangement or... I'm not sure it's something the council wants to become involved in or try and facilitate.
All right. Mr. Mayor, if I could ask a question in relation to the permit requirements. There's exemptions under the Tasmanian Centre Maintenance Agreements, except, of course, where that may be a listed feature through the Tas Heritage Register. That would then trigger need for DA.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when you read this.
I think you're right there. It would be exempt activity for any maintenance works.
Parks.
Yeah.
That's my life for this.
Yes. Councillor Buckle.
No, thank you.
Councillor Fish.
I'd like an update on the horses at Braga, and if the government's putting money into it, just like an update where things are going there.
Didn't seem like horses this morning, it seemed like hay bales.
Yeah, there was a few horses there, but they're...
I can provide an update, and I don't have any additional news in relation to this situation. We've had no further complaints. I know we were mindful of the summer conditions and the fact we might have an over nuisance given the number of horses on the property, but to date I haven't heard anything. I will contact Rachel Collis and see if we have any further advances from those who live in vicinity, but at this stage I've got nothing to report. Councillor Fish.
I hear that the government are putting some money to looking after those horses, is that correct?
Again, I couldn't qualify that at all. If it was a like a state rehab site, then quite possible, but as far as I'm aware, it's just a private landowner that's adopted, I believe, X-ray sources.
Oh, some buyers of hay have been doing a bit of the property, so they're not going to go hungry.
All the horses are in really good nick. I think they breed them. I'm pretty sure they had a stallion there and they breed them, cattle fish.
Yeah, okay.
But the horses themselves, there's no complaint about the actual condition of the animals. They're all pretty good, all very good. I don't know whether there's a continuing complaint about the horses smelling. I think it was something that sort of worried me.
To do with the flies being encouraged because of the amount of manure that's on the ground. Well, it is a concern, and I'm not actually sure that that's eventuated.
I'm reminded of the famous story.
It's probably a row between a couple of neighbours.
I'm reminded of the story of Bart Cummings when the stewards came around to inspect his premises, and he was always under investigation because they thought that he might have been doing something illegal, and they searched his stable thoroughly, couldn't find anything, and then finally said to him, "Mr. Cummings, you've got too many flies." To which Mr. Cummings said, "Well, how many flies am I allowed?"
There is a story about Mark Blackburn when he was a butcher at Richmond.
I'll just have to make a call to the text message. We've had no further updates or complaints from those enclosed sources. I'll just take next course.
Yeah.
Anything else, Councillor
Fish? No,
Councillor Bisley?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just three things. Andrew's not here, I know, but I just wondered if we'd completed the final financial sign-off with Boss over the swimming pool.
No.
I think not.
No.
It's dragging on.
Yeah.
And I don't think even the building exterior is finished.
Yeah, no, they put the scaffolding down during the week in preparation for Australia Day, I think. So I think that's all been certified now.
Right.
But now that the final financial claim hasn't been resolved.
Right. Okay, thank you. The second one is, I believe, we missed out on the funding for Baghdad and Oatlands, have we not?
Yes.
And I just encourage you and the Mayor to the opportunity now with a federal election coming along to get funding through commitment from both parties about it's just very important, especially Baghdad and of course Oaklands, but Baghdad to me has the priority. And I think that the community deserves it down there. It's a very good basic plan, it's a project, and we need to follow on with it.
We haven't shared the news as yet, but all the team of consultants has been to try and progress all the approvals and basically get the hammer down. We have been advised that we're unsuccessful. We haven't had the formal feedback as yet as to reasons.
Yeah,
very disappointing. But more
I thought we were right in the in the mix.
I had undertaken to contact the Labor candidate for Rebecca Vines, White, and see if we can get some kind of commitment for. From an election point of view, for that, so I'll report on that the next meeting.
Okay. Last one I've got is I just wonder if the general manager could defer a future council meeting that Paul's
the day after Djokovic and the Hurricanes play because I'm not getting enough sleep.
I hear you're coming from
that. Very the cane.
Yeah, see, I said that one's pretty good.
We all did.
Anyway.
It was a good
thank you. Another sensible suggestion from you, Councillor Biz. I haven't got many things to ask. I was just going to ask. We'll do it if you want to have a couple of quick questions.
Oh, right. No, okay.
2 seconds. Just while I've been to your park, anything happened there?
So, a development application has been submitted for Woodsdale Recreation Ground. I'm not sure as to how far the assessment process has advanced as yet. But,
for you, so there, I can advise that we have engaged a planning consultant, Form Planning and Projects, which is David Ellingham and David Cumble. David Ellingham is the ex-director of planning at Brighton Council. They've commenced the assessments as of last Friday.
And we're keeping at it?
100%.
Yeah.
So, Council resolved in December meeting to externalise the assessment, which we've done so.
Okay. Excellent. That's really all I needed to get an update on. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to just foreshadow perhaps a general meeting in terms of general discussion, maybe from a workshop point of view, that the village status of Kempton and how we can manage to think about managing the general, I guess, ambient view status of Kempton as a village rather than, a suburb of sprawling Hobart. I'm a bit concerned about how that development has affected the way Kempton looks and is growing. I don't know whether or not we can do anything as a council to keep an eye on how that could be done, but something we probably think about as a workshop. All right, well, thank you very much, councillors, for your participation there. We're now at the stage of public question time, and we have members of the public here today. So, councillors, we'll just welcome them to get a position where they can. Are there any issues that you'd like to raise?
Recycling? Yeah, about
garbage
waste.
Yep. I'm just
about to keep looking
in
that
there. This is a household collection?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think we've had
two cracks
previously.
But why are we doing the survey when some towns didn't get that option? You tell me. Had it automatically delivered to the door and they're going, what's going on?
Mm.
So why do people go through that situation when there is quite a few here that do want it but they don't feel able to get
it? Yeah, so two reasons. So when the household collection, so in certain areas and locations they've all had a household collection for many, many years. When we went to a combined tender contract, that was automatic. And any future extensions to the route, basically, this does involve an additional annual charge. Any extensions to the route have been normally implemented following a community survey. Because if the majority of the community are not prepared to pay for the service, it's one of those things that has to be all in or all out. So the history was that there was a traditional collection area and then any future expansion has always been by following survey.
I'm a bit concerned that because there's no garbage collection here, you've got farmers not knowing what to do with such things as that miles of wrapping around filing bales, bench containers, things like that, and there's probably some of them are now being irresponsible in your eyes maybe by disposing of it on their own property. in the best way they can, and often it's by burning a pile of barley scrap, for instance. And I just think that the wider picture should be taken into consideration as well.
Yes, so we have obviously have three waste transfer stations.
Each of which are not getting that time to make that trip in, because you know you do that once a week. Well, that's only 50 kilometres over one round trip.
Depending on their use of chemicals, if they have a substantial storage of old chemical drums, will actually go to a property. I'm not sure what the charge is or whatever, but I believe that if there's a substantial number of stored bins, that the Chem Search will actually attend the property and do a removal exercise. But other than that, we have certified facilities at each of our waste transfer stations.
With the survey that went out for garbage collection, did that go to everyone at Tunnock or just the people where the garbage will be collected?
So we identify a potential collection route and then survey everyone along that route. Yeah.
Because I've heard from people who are outside the route and said they got the survey.
Right.
That people outside and they're the ones that are saying no.
Yeah. Because if it's linked in with the transport route, so it's not necessarily just the immediate township, if the contractor is then travelling whichever way, it makes sense to then offer the people along that transport route the option. It's a matter of wanting the majority.
Once a month, as people are just dumping the rubbish along the roadside.
It's certainly something that could be entertained, but it does involve an additional charge to the ratepayer.
Yeah, I think the majority of people wouldn't worry if they take that into consideration. I think that would be fine.
It would cost them more for us to go in and drop it off than it would.
Yeah, from the rates.
Then you've got our rates packed with that, because you're looking nearly 50 kilometres round trip. So you've got wear and tear of your tyres, you've got the fuel costs and everything like that, you've got your car costs and then you get. So it is cheaper for us to have recycling and have that done properly, and it might keep our roads a little bit more cleaner. They are in a state at the moment, because rubbish is just getting chucked out windows, it's just on some roads around here,
our
rubbish is getting chucked out.
Because we can certainly do another survey, but the results tell us people are thinking differently. So if you can sell the service before we do a survey, it would certainly help your case. But at the moment, we can survey again, but if it's not the majority, then council generally won't impose a service if the majority of people don't want it.
Well, in the survey, could you put, for instance, so it could be a monthly collection and what the additional fee would be for the yearly rates? And that would give people a bit of an idea of how much extra compared to the cost of transporting.
The problem with a bin service and a monthly collection, it can become health-related issues if you're storing it for too long. Well, that's what it is. It's a fortnightly service.
That's the Tunnock Club as well. There's food scraps and there's recycling there. And you're taking in at least 8 to 9 bins a week sometimes. So this is in part of why I'm pushing it, because I think it's more healthier to have that menu and give us carton in all the time.
And certainly, it's roughly about $300 a year, which entitles you to the fortnightly collection, the 240 litre general waste and the 240 litre recycling. So in the case of the club, if they're wanting, say, 10 bins, 5 general waste, 5 recycling, they'll pay about $1,500 a year. Probably put the responsibility back on yourselves to try and do a bit of
There's going to be more rubbish thrown out. all over the state.
When I say put the onus back on yourself to try and sell the merits, so when we do a survey, we're getting a different response.
Yeah, well, we've already asked a lot of people and they said, yeah, we can have that means we don't have to work a day in that we've got to go into the queue. Mm. You've got to stop and think, oh, I can't go in. Actually, I did my chip lane yesterday because I was going in.
Mm. Well, we can do another survey. If you think the outcome will be different.
But make it a little bit longer because the clerk doesn't have their meeting until the third Thursday of each month, so they're not going to do anything until that meeting before they can give you an answer back on that survey. So,
what time period do you promise over?
Well, we can leave it open for whatever we nominate. So, say 6 weeks?
Yeah, so we could also have a meeting at the club, trying to get people to see the merits of having the collection.
So we'll wait a week or two, and then when we issue it, we'll leave it open for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And foot paths. When are we having them done? They're in a good state, and there's no wheelchair access about over here. And I've got a granddaughter that's wheelchair access, and she needs it because they come down to the park when she's at home. She can't come down on the roads, electric chair, because it's not safe. Potholes on the road, it's very dangerous to push even a wheelchair down the road because you don't know what you're going to run into. So to me, I can't see why we can't get them all done up properly and make it disabled, disability services provided to the people around the area.
Yeah, it's only about the width of the footpath, so...
Yeah. And see, we've only got footpaths going from the club up here to the corner. There's no other footpaths, not on that side, just this side.
So
for us, for my granddaughter to come down here to the park, she can't come down because the road's not level either. And there's no footpath for her to come down.
So what route would you normally... Obviously, there's a lot of rural towns that don't have footpaths, but if there's regular pedestrian links, they're the ones that we focus on.
Walking up and down the road, and the only way they walk up and down the road is in the middle of the road.
So which particular road is that?
This one, the main road.
From where to where?
So,
well, it depends on where they come from. Usually from about the club, and they go up. Or they come down to see their friends.
So that's Tunnock Main Road is the priority?
Yeah.
There certainly we can look at doing a footpath development program which should be funded over whatever period of time.
So
I'm going to pay as long as Tunbridge? Well, it'll be probably similar. I think we allocate 40 or 50 grand each year to Tunbridge.
Yeah.
Just to improve the drainage and,
And I'd like to see a decrease in it opens too for disability people because it's no access to a lot of the shops because the steps and there's no providing or disabled parking on the streets. There's nothing. We've got really nothing for disability people.
People
with the wheelie walkers and wheelchairs for them to get into the supermarket, they've got to step that big. Why isn't there a proper wheelchair access to the supermarket and to some of the other shops? And for us to get into the council chambers, half the time there's no parking spot, it's all good or employed. We're the toilet chamber.
Yeah, well that's not a public car park.
Well, it must be because your workers are in there.
Yeah, no, it's office car parking.
Yeah,
but it's
not leaving us room to go in there.
And that's something that we are currently working on, is wheelchair accessibility into the council chambers. And to be honest, don't argue that a lot of our footpaths require upgrade. It comes down to the resources available what money you have for those things.
It is very poorly in their disability people.
Yeah, it's certainly something a lot of the the pedestrian pathways to and from the MPC and Roxy's and whatever have been upgraded. You know, the various junctions, there's now crossovers and whatever.
Yes, but there's no access to the shops.
That's the individual business operators.
It's not a council issue. The shops are...
Well, I've been told by Shane at IGA, it's up to you guys.
For us to provide access to his shop? No. Okay. I won't.
I know. I've got a body man and I used to work with disabilities. And I was struggling to push people in the wheelchair into the supermarket so they can go and do their shopping.
No, well,
that independence because there's no access to the shops.
We might highlight the use of Christ responsibility. We'll let him know that it's been suggested that he leaves the town, so...
Yeah, because
there's
only two or three shops you can actually put your wheelchair in. You can't get anyone in it. You can't even access that. Because
there's
steps to walk up into it.
Yeah, it's certainly the individual business operators.
But the development at High Street there where the artist in residence appears, I don't know whether you've had the opportunity to see that, but council did that with a very nice ramp and you can access that with I'm pleased about it. You ever been in there?
No.
79 High Street, just opposite Kevin's
nice ramp.
Yeah, good ramp there. And it would be a lovely spot for people to access to see what goes on in there. It's open nearly all the time for people to look at an artist working. And then when council did that development, and we made sure that it was disability access.
The spaces you've had the parking in the swimming pool area, that's very well done.
Yeah.
But this is what we don't have in the lot. As we were a tiny town, and one or two or three times, we can't provide for our elderly or disability people. They're just as much to this community as what we are
here. We're well aware of it. And look, I think it's something which is coming. You know, in the, when Oakness was originally developed, there was just no thought about what you're talking about. But as time's gone on and we've become much more cognizant of those issues, I think our developments always take that into account. Well, thanks very much for bringing my attention. Anything else that anyone wish to raise? Yep.
New Country Market Road and Hungry Flats. Just the water issue that comes down through there. Roads being graded is good, but there seem to be always cut and channels for the water just to flood out like that. There is drains up there that probably need looking at to be cleaned out just to put the water where it should go.
What's it need?
Probably an excavator just to clean out a couple of drains and open it up so the water can go where it should go instead of just flooding the road and out across over there.
Is that where we are? Okay.
Yeah, certainly do. I've spoken to you previously.
Yeah.
And ironically, it was just prior to Christmas, myself and the worst coordinators out there, and I said we need to get this on the list to get it done.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with what you're saying at all. So I'm going to try to read it through the gap.
Another one I'd like to bring up, maybe something to look at up at the club, is the decent curb and gutting around the club. Instead of, there's only, I think there's two ins and outs, and they're all, you know, not really up to scratch for these days, I don't think, where there could be a new gutting go around and all that.
And have the road cleared a bit more to stop the dustmen coming into
the road too. I can just add a comment to that, Joe. The Department of State Road, as you're probably all aware, is very bad to undertake a reseal of the road from Baden Junction right through the township. That's hence why they're doing all those what's called reseal preparation for the Ashrell in the certain areas. So as part of that, I've met with the representative from the Department of State Road to do some extra sealing works. So they will look after 2.7 metres from the centre line of any road But obviously the outer areas along the road works through the main township here. We're going to reseal as well, that's at council cost. And one of the areas I highlighted was exactly what you're talking about, is where the club needs to go a little bit further than where it is to make sure that it encompasses where the vehicle's turning and that. So it's just go a little bit further there.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is where all that garden, instead of the old garden, it's there, let's have a decent access, so you can access it all the way around without having to pick those 2 or 3 pulling spots.
Yeah, it's always a challenge with vehicle crossovers and accesses because council doesn't cover the cost of accesses into private properties. And that's what it is. So what we tend to generally do is negotiate. So if the club could come up with some sort of a plan or a concept on what they envisage that it could look like, I'd be happy to discuss the options to do something with that. But yeah, because if you put it in perspective, if we had to council had to reinstate or replace all crossovers throughout the municipality, that's all we spend our work budget on. It's very costly. So, but where we can contribute is to optimise the drainage component. So if we can make improvements to the drainage through new curb and gutter, etc., that's where we will look at it.
Could I just ask about the T junction of Tunnock Road and Tunnock Square Road?
Yes.
Where the trees have been cut down on both sides of that?
Yes.
It looks like there's a lovely clear line of sight. If you cut through that corner a bit, the actual intersection is quite dangerous. The school bus goes around that back road and there are potholes right through that intersection, and it's pretty dangerous as it is, and it does need some attention.
Yeah, so I can comment on that as well. So we've got a budget allocation in this financial year, so that area is going to be rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
So from the junction, including the junction, will be basically all sealed. And that will enable us to put a hole, what's called a hole more, on Tank Square, so vehicles have to stop and give way. And it goes for not quite a kilometre through basically that rough section heading down Eldon Road. We managed to get just a small budget allocation to fix that up.
Good.
So the junction is definitely incorporated as part of those works, which will be started, I believe, in the next couple of weeks.
I think Pound Road and Tunnock Square is pretty much the same condition. Yes. They just keep filling the potholes.
Yes.
And when people come to pass, they don't know the potholes are there.
Yep.
It's a pretty deadly one as well.
Yeah. It really is a prioritisation. I can make a budget allocation next year's budget to Ashfield, that junction, maybe.
Yeah.
Which stops the potholes. It's all about drainage, and it becomes a challenge when our neighbours at Dea Street, the Department of State Road, who own managed the road, the main road, they certainly don't want to contribute to anything like that.
That's quite good. They put it on to look at, I guess.
Yeah, we can consider that as part of the budget allocation. Yeah.
I just got one more. Coming out of Fairhaven there, on tractors and so forth, I'm curious about rules and regulations about maybe if I look in to put in a mirror on that side of the road so you can see left and right. Because it's very tight, like refraining mode, I'm on the road before I can really see which way, to make it clear to pull out. And if there's any rules or regs for putting a mirror up there to look.
Those
oval-shaped mirrors.
Mm. Yeah, look, I know previously, there's been many iterations of the mirror setups, and sometimes they can work, sometimes they can not work. They can actually give a little bit of a false indication to people, so people can look in the mirror and not read quite correctly, and it has been known to cause accidents through the use of the mirrors. So I know the general practice is not encouraging the installation of the mirrors for use for that reason, because if someone reads them wrong, which does happen.
I'll see if I can trim more of my pictures.
What are you doing, mate? You put out as much as I do. Is it a side distance issue with the vegetation? Is that what you...
No, it's more so
you got to have, you've pretty well got the nose of your vehicle on the road to look left or right.
Yes.
And does the cars fly through? Let them stick to the speed limit.
And because that road is narrow, you find, if you want to go that way, you're looking this way, you point that way, the next thing is a vehicle, so more or less on your side of the road, can pull out that way anyway. So I'm just thinking if there's something else there, maybe help.
I can have a look at it and see what options we have.
Yep.
What we can. Sometimes you can change the elevation of the intersection or...
Yeah,
there's all sorts of things.
I don't think you can do that.
Can or can't do, but I'm certainly happy to
have that. But I was just thinking, like, I'll put the mirror there to see if we can make it a bit safer for it.
Yeah. The problem is, mirrors, one of the problems is that people get used to using the mirrors, and then, you know, they can get dirty, things like that, and they don't like mirrors. And I understand what you're saying, but some of us are thankful for that.
But anyway, that will get it just so.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Well, look, thanks very much, everybody, for participating in public question time. I hope that there's been some useful suggestions and things that council need to look at, and we'll take those away and do our best to help in each case. Thanks very much.
Being approached, this is up to Cumbridge now, sorry. They're going to fence the lagoon for the wild plants up there, and there's got to be, if council's got any rubbish material, as in road, sort of rocks or coarse gravel needs to dump, it would be nice to, we wouldn't want to sort of put a road around between my boundary and the new fence there. So.
How much is needed? As much as...
Yeah, it's going to take a bit of it. It's going to be a good 400 metres here.
We got some narrow bit to embark on things a year ago, up through Cumbridge on the left-hand side there. And we were looking for a good site.
We've been told we're more or less got to put a road in there, so if there's any floating around, probably much appreciated.
No problem.
Thank you.
Well, that's just before we break, thanks very much for, morning tea. Can I just see if there are any declarations of pecuniary interest pursuant to the regulations? No? Thank you. And if there are any considerations of supplementary items to the agenda? Neil?
Yeah.
Do I need a motion to that? Thanks, Deputy.
I'll just treat that as a tabling of a document.
I'll move.
Thank you. And seconded.
Yeah, I can second it.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. So, Neil, supplementary items to the agenda. Okay, so it takes up the question time. So we'll recommend. Thank you very much, Deputy. And seconded for that.
Second.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. We'll now stop the recording and move to a moment.
That's right. We're right. Yep.
Okay, thank you, councillors, for resuming after a very nice we need a motion to resume. Thanks, Rita.
Second.
Thanks, Deputy. Thanks, councillor. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Very good. We're at item 12.4, and this is council acting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning Approvals Act 1993 and Council Statutory Land Use Plan Scheme. And this is a petition in relation to amending Field Plan 1791-01, removing no restrictive covenant at lots 201, 202 Owens Hill Road, Baghdad. Did you want to do this?
Grant.
Grant?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, this is coming from McIntyre Butler on behalf of the groups who own the subject lots. Looking at the decision, the subdivision, there's no conditions at all requiring a restriction on single dwelling only on lots 201 and 202. As part of the petition to amend the sewer plan, Butler McIntyre Butler have contacted adjoining landowners who form part of the same subdivision. That occurred back in October. Council was also contacted as the owner of the road lot. There's been no objections or submissions opposing the petition. So the recommendation is that we agree to amend the seal plan with respect to removal of the structure.
And I'll share.
Thank you, Councillor Bisdy and Councillor Campbell. I put the motion that that recommendation be supported. Those in favour?
Right.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Ken. This ends the session of Council acting as a planning authority. We now go to some reports, and we have the Manager Infrastructure and Works report before us. Mr. Richardson, did you wish to speak to that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Happy New Year to all council.
Thank you.
I've now got a full contingent of the works crews back at work, as I thought of yesterday. But they continue just to work on catching up on some maintenance issues around the place, with roads obviously being the focus. Current capital works, so Interlaken Road upgrade works are almost complete. Myself and the General Manager done a drive-through yesterday, the final part of the sealing out the end of the project towards the marshes there was done on Monday. So the only thing left to do out there is some advance warning signage throughout the whole project and some line marking, and we ticked the box on that one. It's basically completed and it's come up very well.
Okay.
One for roads. I think a few councils would be aware that there was a safety concern raised in regards to Stonehouse Road. There's a slight corner there with a bit of a crest. So we have a plan for that. That'll commence next week, some road improvements there. I met with the property owner and they're totally on board with what we're proposing and agreed to just move a bit of a fence line back there so we can do a bit more road improvements there for safety. We've already installed some advance warning there now. Just advising of slower speed and some chevrons on there. That was a result of, there's been a fatality there previously on the same corner, and there was another accident right on Christmas time there. But, and you know, it's like most of our unsealed roads, and it was acknowledged by the landowner as well, it's probably no worse than some of the other corners that we have throughout the road network, but people just tend to travel it too fast.
Mm.
That's the reality of it, that's what the cause is. Mm. So we're putting some mitigation measures in place to try and slow them down. Kellington Park new toilets are almost completed. We're just waiting on some final bits and pieces for that, which I believe are ordered and should arrive in the next week or so. So then they will be open and operational. As you will probably, most of you will see on Australia Day, a new barbecue shelter and the barbecue is operational over at the Oaklands Aquatic Centre, which is, we've had some very positive feedback from the public in regards to that. And as mentioned earlier as well, some road stabilisation works will be undertaken on Eldon Road here in the coming weeks as well. So I'll throw it out there to council, and you know, as usual, is there any questions?
No?
Nothing from me.
Did you want to say something about that T-junction over at Barking Road, or whether Barking Road talk about that?
Yeah, certainly can. So we had a request to review the current setup with the giveaway sign at the T-junction of Buckland Road and Woodsdale Road. I don't know if you can all familiarise yourself with that junction. It's a bit of a strange junction, the way it's set up and the way it was constructed.
Certainly New Country Mask, is it?
No, it's going to Buckland.
No, Buckland.
It's going to. If we, you're going to Buckland.
Oh, yes, I'm in it.
Yes. To Levendale.
Oh, there we go.
Telephone box.
I had a request that the way it's currently set up, that the giveaway sign is on Woodsdale Road, and the request was to see if that could be moved, the giveaway, put onto the Buckland Road side. But the buck with all that is, the way the alignment of the junction is a little bit obscure. However, when you're coming from Woodsdale, you're forced to stop almost anyway, because
that's right.
You cannot travel around that corner at speed.
No.
So after reviewing it and looking at it and driving every way, it sort of makes sense how it is at the moment. I do understand what the person concerned, why she raised the issue, was they want to travel, when travelling from the Oaklands, just go straight around. But you can still do that because you have good sight distance looking back up Buckland Road. So I don't see the need to change it, the current setup of it. However, I think I mentioned to the Mayor that if the concern is they don't accept that, my opinion, or others, and it wasn't just my opinion, it was others as well, we'd have to engage traffic engineer to do a report on it. And bearing in mind that when you come to a T-junction, the give way to the right rule applies anyway. So that's how it's currently set up.
It might need to be looked at overall, that junction, but I don't know whether there's ever been any accidents there, has there?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
And we haven't received any other correspondence with people requesting it be reviewed.
Yeah, I should say, you come, if you're turning to Levendale, you've got a clear vision of who's coming from Buckland.
Correct.
Yeah.
There is some minor tree trimming that needs to be done there, I acknowledge that, and there's a, where you drive onto the unsealed section, there's the usual gravel road sign.
Mm-hmm.
That is not in an ideal spot, and I can move that further back and do some tree trimming, which I think addresses all the issues.
Thanks. Mm. Any other matters arising out of the Manager Infrastructure and Rights Report?
Just one, yes. Mr. Mayor. You haven't started demolishing the old pool yet?
Yes, we have. Our building services unit is in there stripping the roof off.
Oh, right, that's the shed, but I'm talking about the actual pool itself.
No, so I was only speaking to Brad Williams yesterday about it. We have to put in the monitoring equipment around all the properties that surround that site. It's because of the vibrations, so that it's basically to cover ourselves, that no one comes back and says we cause cracking to their foundations or their footings or anything like that, or to the properties. So that has to be done. So all that equipment needs to be put in place prior to us doing any installation work.
Yeah, oh, well, that to be done. What is more interesting, where are you going to put the old, all the spoiled concrete?
Yes, we have a property very close by that's very happy to...
receive it?
Receive that.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Very good. Thank you.
I just made a comment. Tunbridge Bridge, I've been dealing with a few people from Tunbridge lately, and they're all ecstatic their bridge is open now, and I even drive across it, and it's very good.
Yeah, well, I can even add further to that, our heritage manager actually went up there yesterday and done a little dance on it. Because he himself was very happy with the result. And as he pointed out, under their permit conditions, they didn't even need to put the timber railings back on.
Oh, right.
But they did.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think everyone's very happy with the result.
Does it need staining? Someone mentioned to me about staining it. Does it need staining or...
I'm not too sure. Usually on a timber deck like that on a bridge, they will put a asphalt overlay or a two-coat seal. And I'm not sure whether that's going to take place yet or not.
Mm. Looks good.
Mm.
All right. Ponsonby Road, how are we going with that?
Yes.
What's the outcome on to that?
Yeah, no, that was quite an interesting one, actually. So I had to get the history, of course. And the statement made that we don't maintain the full length of it is correct, but... there is, of course, always a reason. There used to be a gate over it. And if it's a public road and it's gated, so there was always challenges for turning the grader there.
Mm-hmm.
But we note now that the gate has been removed. And it's a strange one in that, no worries, we could go 2.2 kilometres, I think it is, which is what is on our road register. But the property owner needs to be very aware that that means that there will be public allowed to drive straight through the middle of his property.
Yeah. Well, I was up there the other day, and rough estimate, about a third of it wants re-sheeting.
Yeah, the last piece of it.
Yes. The rocks sticking up through there. Road graders don't go too good with rocks.
Yes.
And also that weed was growing on the side, and that was one area where they were complaining about it. And so what will happen? You re-sheet it?
Well, I'm going to have a discussion with property owners, because that's the dilemma. And I'm going to make it very clear that if one gate is shut there, that's going to cause issues, because it's a public road and it'll be marked as a public road.
Yeah, well, what he was saying to me the other day was where the gate is now is the end of the public road.
Yes, that's correct. That quite is correct. Yes, that's right. But what I'm saying is that means people will be entitled to drive straight through past where he's got all his machinery sheds, everything, all his farming equipment, his house, the whole lot. Whereas, as it is at the moment, if I was a member of the public, I would drive in there so far and go, oh, this is obvious where the council stops, and wouldn't go any further. So I'm happy to do that, to resheet that section of road and to continue to maintain it, but it will be that it is a full public use road.
Mm. Mm.
But you had a bit of a dilemma the other day with the tractor and bale and the car going up there. But,
that's where the challenge comes, and the history is apparently that was always used to be the gate further back where they maintained to, but they'd go up to the house because they could turn the grader around there. Mm-hmm. So we went that little bit further with the maintenance, but not beyond that. Now, if he's requesting for that to be upgraded further, not a problem, but it will be well known that it's a public road.
Mm.
I'll leave that one in your court. Inwood Road, it's got a number of sections where the rock's showing through the road and the base showing through the road from Vermont turn off going down to Stonehenge. Really needs a bit of resheeting done on it. Stonehenge Road, there's a few sections in that. From Stonehenge coming up to Whiteford, could do with a bit of resheeting.
We've just done a number, a fair bit of resheeting through the worst sections.
The ones in Stonehenge Road are only short sections.
Yes.
And road edges, I've had some concerns about them, and they were saying, well, why do they put the bitumen on the edge, but they don't put any fill next to the bitumen? And some of the previous workers in the council works department used to use a truck. It was a tip truck, had a tailgate on it that was designed for spreading material on the edge of the road. And I'm led to believe that's been sold off. I might be wrong. But why can't we do that sort of system now so that where we're putting the repairing edges, we put a bit of material alongside so that when tractors and trucks run off the edge, they don't break those edges off again.
It's called shoulder grading, and shoulder grading works, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, it purely comes down to resources.
So I'll have to work harder in the budget on that team, won't I?
Okay. Yes, we'll start on working harder in the budget.
All right.
I'll start with Councillor Blacklock.
Just a quick one. With the edge break repairs, does that include Township of Portmarsh? Do you know?
Yes. Yeah, the allocation was made for the whole of the municipality, not to the road.
Just a bit going on up there.
Primarily, look, my favourite road in the southern Midlands is obviously Woodstone Road. the contractors have been out there for the last couple of weeks and made significant improvements to the edge roads out there, so that will fill up a fair bit of that allocated budget. And then it's just prioritising which other areas. So we've got some on Inglewood Road. I'm more than happy to have a look at
it's
the soil.
It's top end, built at the end of the Broadmarsh Township.
Near
Eileen McKenzie's. It's quite a big sharp drop. It's not the hole, it's just up that top end.
We can get that address, not a problem.
I probably should have brought up when you talk about the Milan Road, but two trucks haven't got a lot of room down below the ground to turn off that on that work where it's built up between the two creeks.
Certainly.
And I think as a truck you need to come down a water place to get by. It just seems very narrow.
It's going to be signposted as a single lane bridge.
There's two bridges, isn't there?
We drove that section yesterday. I had to mark out where I wanted the single lines on all the corners to stop people veering over, etc. And we looked at that whole issue through there. And I think the only solution is, which is backed up by the traffic engineer I had for it, was to mark it as
even if it's not marked. Truck got a good view of one another.
It's good as well.
One truck out of the, get on a good little truck driver, one or the other would pull up.
Yes.
But I think you could pass, but you wouldn't want to be going too fast.
It'd be a bit tight with a truck and a car, but two trucks, I don't know.
Thanks for that.
Councillor Bidgey?
No, I'm fine.
All right. I just noticed that you said you were continuing with the works there at the footpath for Baghdad. I just wondered, are we going to get any further than Swansea Vale Road, or is that about it?
No, certainly.
He's coming under a budget. He's going to keep going.
We'll talk about budgets, Mr. Jeff, when we get to the financial section. The answer is yes, we are. Next week, we're recommencing there.
Okay.
And we're going to keep marching towards Auden Road.
All right, good.
I can I can move the motion.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much. That's so smooth.
Second.
Fish, Councillor Campbell. Seconded?
Yeah.
I'll put the motion.
Aye.
Thank you. That's fine. Aye. Aye. Against the ayes have it. Thanks very much for your report. The next item on the agenda is the Heritage Project Program Report, provided to us by Alan Townsend. Do I have a mover that that be accepted, please?
I'll move.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconded?
I'll second.
Deputy, I think, just... No. Any issues? Look, there's a few matters there that perhaps we could have a discussion about in the presence of Mr Townsend, but maybe not without him. So I'll just take things on notice. Perhaps if we could ask him to come next time we are in...
We should be able to get Brady to...
Items or Brady, yeah, that'd be good. Any other discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thanks for the report. Similarly there, the NRMU General Report.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Second.
Did Councillor Fish move that? Yes. And second is Councillor Fish.
Okay.
Councillor Campbell. Any issues, any discussion? Move that that information be received and information noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Thank you. A good report, as usual. Animal management, similarly. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. And a seconder?
I'll second.
The deputy? Issues? Yes,
Captain. I can foresee there's none euthanated now, but we're going to have to get a veteran report to say that's got to be done. I can see that coming. With animal livers like there.
Yeah.
We needn't even note it now, but I can see that coming. And one of them sees that they've been euthanated.
Probably wouldn't disagree with him either.
So I want to take
a little veterinary practice does something. I'll help some of that. There you are.
All right. Thanks to you. Input there, Councillor Fish. I've put that motion of the report we received and information later. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Yeah, I said it. Thank you. And then we have the Oaklands Aquatic Centre coordinator's report there.
Aye.
Thank you, Councillor Albeppi. And a seconder?
Can I just...
I think you had your hand up there. Councillor Paul down the bottom. Yep.
Okay, so with my discussion that I had with Adam yesterday, he just gave me two lots of figures. Last week we had 1,500 persons come through the pool.
Gee.
And the week before we had 1,200.
Wonderful.
Which is just amazing. As I said, I went in yesterday to see someone and I looked around and there was, to me, there was only one local with children and the rest were like... Who are they? Where do they come from? Yeah, it's just
Come on.
So the Ticket to Wellbeing program, as Adam said, is up and going, and out of that, Coravine and Annabelle are doing different classes, and people are getting these vouchers and using them, so that's come into play already. I was talking to the people from Coravine. They came in to the op shop when I was there the other day with quite a few members from the campaign area that we all know. They were just up to Oaklands. Some were swimming, some were shopping, just having a look around. And they're going to start their things very soon and they're very happy with what's at the pool and all that sort of stuff. I think they've got X amount of children doing private swimming lessons and they've got people asking to do more private lessons and they can't facilitate them because they're totally booked out. So
So
see, I've been trying to get in for years.
Well, we've got someone that wants
just,
to text
just,
you.
Just can't get into it.
Anyhow, it's the place to be in Oakland at the moment, and it's
yeah,
great to see.
It is. Thanks for that, Jeff.
Just a couple of questions on that,
yes,
Mr. Mayor. It was very pleasing to see the year-to-date figures on admission fees. It's up $7,000, and also the sale of goods was up roughly $1,700. Unfortunately, looking at the wages on a year-to-year basis, it's gone from 209 to 242, and we have one less employee. What might have happened?
Certainly have the back pay being processed as part of that. Our enterprise agreement. No, take that on notice actually. This man, he's got wisdom.
Well, just as far as December goes, so December was a 3-pay month. So you're probably looking,
could be a higher
pay
up
on last year at the same time.
Right.
So that could be a variation.
Yeah.
So it's $35,000 difference.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. With one less employee.
And the operating costs are up $40,000 year on year, so what's driving that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately the comparison on a yearly basis, we're up 63,000, and that's a lot.
Well, actually doing analysis to break down to the actual detailed budget.
So if you look at December again, that looks like it's down year on year in terms of usage, because it's down $8,000. But the costs are up 15 in December alone, so there seems to be something missed. Was it because of the way the public holidays fell in December perhaps this year?
Yeah.
We'll just do a deep dive into it, I think.
Yeah, no, it'd be good, because I find it strange when income's up, not hugely, but it's pleasing to see it's up about 7%. I think it's 7% roughly. But the total expenditure for the same period has gone from 343,000 to 416,000. And with one less employee, I just, it's a bit of a worry.
We'll do a deep dive into that, as you say.
Thank you. That would be good.
Although we have one less employee, we still have the same amount of employees, we just don't have the fitness. She still needs to be replaced.
Right.
As a lifeguard.
Right. But I mean, in mind, we always have to have the two minimum facility on site.
Have what, sorry?
Minimum facility. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you've got to have it.
Regardless, and given an increase in the usage, that's probably more of an emphasis, is to ensure that it's adequately staffed.
Yeah, you've got to do this.
Expected big groups of members.
All right, anyway, it's just a bit disappointing that it's up so much when the income's up, but the costs are just way up.
Cost of operating in the body center.
Some of the expenses, non-salary expenses are up this year too, because in the first year some of the maintenance was covered under warranty.
Right.
And I think some of the actual repairs and maintenance now is coming as a council expense.
Yeah.
That's a very valid point. You know, we've had some pumps and things like that in the plant room that we've had to replace, and nothing's true. It's ironic that they have a 12-month defect liability period on those components, and literally the 13th month they're packing up, which I've found is happening there regularly with a number of things. And we had no choice but to obviously replace them.
Yeah.
And we're putting back better quality ones because I suspect that
for
the real ones, I've used the chicken bird ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's only just out of warranty, you can still put a warranty claim in it.
It varies. I've had individual discussions with different companies, and the answer's been sometimes yes, we'll come to the party, others have just had enough. No.
You just have to tell them that you'll take them to the ACCC and they stay the line pretty quickly. Especially if it's a couple of weeks out, they're not going to argue.
Myself and Adam have had some harsh conversations with some of the suppliers. Well, ultimately it comes back to boss rather than
Anyway, it's a bit disappointing.
Are you getting value for the sun?
Solar
panels? Are you getting value for them? For them?
We're still
looking at
negotiations with, what do you call them? Aurora. To separately identify it as opposed to reporting as a net figure.
We can't tell yet.
But at the same time, we're getting the benefits of new LGAP tender contracts, pricing.
Oh, well. Contracts.
See, even the charging, our refund from the electric charging, vehicle electric, has gone from 3,000 to 9,000.
Hmm.
200% increase.
That's income, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying the income.
Yeah, so that's offsetting
going well.
That's offsetting the operating costs, of course.
The what, sorry?
You can't get the income without the offsetting costs.
Sure.
So that the offset of that is in the operating expenses.
And the cost of electricity.
So long and the short of it, it's a magnificent facility, it's been well supported, Dave said, that's the cost of it, and we're trying to manage it as best as we can. We'll do a deep dive.
Yeah, but I just see the increase is a bit concerning.
All right,
mitigation measures.
Yeah.
I won't go there.
All right.
I think we should.
Well, the mitigation measures are obviously reduced operating hours.
Yep. No, I think we should consider it. It is going to
keep... Let's do a deep dive, so...
Okay. Think about that, is you may lose the staff that you've got to...
Certainly not panic stages, I'm not sure.
No, but if it kept going that way, it might get to that point.
Oh, well, that's all part of being responsible operator. Mm.
Yep.
Okay.
No, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Captain.
How about that? We'll get the mayor out with his three days and
you'll
go full side, you and I.
Then they'll just want to shutter it for good.
Follow God and the deputy mayor one end and
information. This information we received and noted, that's against the eyes, haven't it? I think. Thank you. Very good. Finance Officer Mandy Burbridge's report in relation to the rates of charges policy. I'll move to that place.
Comment.
Thank you, Deputy.
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Bixby. Got much consideration for the discussion then? No? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you. Now back again to the Local Government Shared Services quarterly update. Move it in.
No, there is a tabling of a document.
Tabling of a document.
So it does require... We received a letter following the closure of the agenda, so it's purely the covering that I said could be circulated and tabled at the council meeting, so it doesn't require a decision today. For the long and short of it, it's a letter from the Victoria Hall, this facility, the management committee, saying would council like to take ownership of the hall. For the very similar reasons that we're hearing about, Tunbridge Hall and Brown Hall. So, as I said, it's just purely for tabling at this meeting. It will have to be the subject to a report next meeting. But I've just did a little bit of an issue sheet over the back there, just in case it came up at people question time. Have you got a copy of that? So the property is here, is split across two titles. It's a total area of 3,360 square metres.
Yes. When you do a search of the titles, a copy of which has been included there, it rings alarm bells. There are 10 owners of one title, 13 owners of the second title, neither of which match. So you're effectively, you know, trying to deal with 23 separate owners.
So are you all still living?
Who would know?
Yes, I think there's only one that is still alive, just looking at the second lot that I know of.
So all I've done is a brain dump on the issues to consider is the complexity and cost of any formal transfer of ownership. Trying to do with possibly 23 estates or whatever it is. I don't want to play the devil's advocate, but we don't want to go near this with a large pile, I reckon. So then there's the financial implications, the recognition, accounting for depreciation of the asset, the insurance liability, irrespective of whether transfers at no cost, there's still the stamp duty. Certainly any proposal to take on ownership of additional halls was not raised or considered as part of the Southern Midlands community infrastructure. In the absence of any criteria to make a sound decision, there is potential to create a precedent, with the Paraka and Tunbridge community owned halls being examples where there are similar circumstances. What happens in terms of future management and operation if, in the event that there wasn't a management committee going forward? And then, of course, there's the ongoing maintenance responsibilities. So.
Well, the amount for a council agenda of a later date.
It will be a
table. Thank you.
Table.
Can I just backtracking a little bit to the pool as part of that deep dive, can we also put in the fees and charges and how that compares to the Hobart pool, as well as, you know, whatever, and that's one in Sorrel or wherever the other one is, just so we've got some comparatives.
Now, I did announce this one. Finance officer, shared services, 7823. Got a move in relation to that, the summary provided, and for the information we received, just so have a move there. Thank you, Deputy. Seconded?
I can second.
Thank you, Councillor Fish. Any issues there?
Shared services.
Thank you.
I put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. In relation to the external grant project quarterly update, the recommendation is that information be received.
Moved.
Thank you, Councillor Christie.
Second.
Second to the Deputy. Put that motion. Is there any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Monthly financial statement, 7.3.1. I'll move in relation to that.
Move.
Deputy, second, Councillor Fiske. Financial report we received and noted information note. Any issues in relation to this? No? I'll put the motion for the report we received and information note. Those in favour?
No.
Those against? I'll have it again. I see any people I speak to that now. Yeah.
The council employees mark the infrastructure
part of that. I want to make that point, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, is there a typo in the budget?
Just didn't give him an opportunity to say it. Sorry, Councillor.
I just thought there must be some sort of typo of the infrastructure.
Mr. Mayor, I need to go.
Councillor Fish, thank you very much for your attendance thus far.
How you doing?
Bye, John.
18.1, this is the signing and sealing of grant deed. The recommendation is there. That's for the grant. I see that actually. Do I have a mover?
Move.
Thanks, Councillor Fiske. Seconded.
I second.
The deputy.
So I'll just highlight so that this is primarily the two projects, the new cricket net, which is planned for the highway end of the recreation ground, and the pickleball court that will be jammed in between the skate park and the dog park. So they're the two key components that are part of this project.
Yes, and they actually started earlier.
Well, we demolished the old cricket nets. I think you were the last to use them.
Probably would be.
you were spotted.
Yeah, I've used them a lot. They've been good old nets, but anyway, let's hope the new ones are great too.
So, what's the potential of attendees or members of playing pickleball in Kempton? Are you going to lead the charge?
They tell me it is very popular, pickleball. Mm-hmm. The beauty of a pickleball court is, if no one uses it, it doesn't cost you nothing. But the background of it was, when we asked for some money to the Kempton Rec Ground to do the election, I think Jane Howard suggested that it needed to include a pickleball court, because that's the thing now.
They've got the
I like the fact that it's a little court, you don't have a lot of running. Yeah. Pickleball said to be the fastest growing sport worldwide.
Yeah. The basketball past court, the kids love that, especially the schools.
Good. All right, well, that's what we're going to use the municipal seal for. Do we have a mover? We do. A seconder? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. The sign is similarly in relation to the shareway school, between Baghdad School and Hall Lane.
So these are all the election committee.
Yeah.
Do I have a mover for that?
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconded, Councillor Blackwell. I don't think we need a further explanation. We all know what it's about. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
And again, the ayes have it. Thank you. And similarly, where...
No, this is a different one. When you've got some money for movements, evacuation centre stuff.
Okay, well, I have a mover in relation to this.
Yes.
Councillor Christie, seconded Councillor Campbell. Councillor Blackwell. I heard.
Yeah.
Did you want to speak to this one, Ms Young?
No?
Just
looking
to get some equipment in case of an emergency that every council was encouraged to put in for a submission, so we were successful to get the full amount, which was $9,384.
Beautiful.
And where will that go, or would it just sit in the office?
We were hoping we could make it happen to be stored at Broadmarsh. But it could be used at any location throughout the municipality if required.
This is the pickleball piece. Can we repurpose the tennis courts at Campaign to do a similar thing? They're currently underutilised.
Come up in the review by Inspiring Place.
Yeah, so Inspiring Place.
Any idea who that is, Nancy?
So we've engaged Inspiring Place to do that development plan for the last I saw prior to Christmas that they had really good community engagement, but I haven't seen where they're at, so
no.
I reckon
their
development plan will take into account whatever the community's flagged.
Yeah.
All right, in relation to the $9,384 for the I've got a mover and a second. Are those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. In accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation, the following items will be dealt with in closed session. The minutes a leave of absences and staff matter. Do I have any of this?
Seconded
the deputy. And then in accordance, all those in favour, those against, the ayes have it, thank you. And in accordance with regulation 5.15.2, the meeting is to be closed to the members of the public. Another mover? Councillor Blackwell seconded, those in favour, the ayes have it. All right, we now need to move into closed session. I have to turn off the... Just open my door. Very good. Okay, well, thank you for the out of closed session participation, councillors, and we need a motion to move out.
Seconded
Councillor Beeston. And those in favour? The ayes have it. We'll move out of closed session and then we'll close the council meeting at, what is it, about 1.50? Sorry, 12.50. Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you.